Radio Prague News. Czech banks have turned down international financial aid, saying they're well capitalised and do not need any financial assistance. The Deputy Prime Minister for European Affairs has come out in favour of the Czech Republic joining the Eurozone as soon as possible, and the Czech Republic is to buy 4 new military transport planes from the European Aeronautic Defence and Space Company. Czech banks snubbed the prospect of international financial aid on Friday, saying they were well capitalised and did not need any financial assistance. The World Bank, the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development, and the European Investment Bank announced a $24.5 billion two-year plan to provide capital to Central and East European banks. But two of the three largest Czech banks, Komerční banka and Česká spořitelna, responded immediately that they did not need any such financial assistance. The Czech government and National Bank have been keen to stress that the national economy does not need outside support. The Deputy Prime Minister for European Affairs, Alexander Vondra, meanwhile, has come out in favour of the Czech Republic joining the Eurozone as soon as possible. Mr Vondra said in an interview with the business daily Hospodářské noviny that getting on board what he described as the steamship would be better than keeping the crown in the mid-term. The government is expected to set a date for adopting the euro in the autumn. The Czech Republic's neighbour Slovakia, meanwhile, adopted the European single currency at the start of 2009. The Czech Republic is to buy 4 new military transport planes from the European Aeronautic Defence and Space Company, the Deputy Defence Minister said on Thursday. The planes will replace 4 Soviet-era aircraft and will be purchased in 2011, Martin Bartak said. The bill for the aircraft will come to nearly 3.5 billion crowns, which is around $157 million, Mr. Bartak added. The Czech Republic also plans to buy 3 Spanish-made Casa C295M planes and get a 4th in exchange for 5 surplus combat planes from the Czech Air Force. The country's biggest bank, in terms of client numbers, Česká spořitelna, said on Friday that it had raised net profits by an annual 30.2% to 15.81 billion crowns, which is around $712 million. That's in 2008. The profit was generated by the sale of the bank's insurance unit in particular, a spokesperson said. Česká spořitelna, which is owned by Austria's Erste Bank, has over 5.3 million clients and almost 11,000 employees. Erste Bank, meanwhile, said on Friday its bottom-line profit fell by 26.8% in 2008. A quick look at the weather now, and the sunny weather's expected to continue into the weekend, with temperatures rising to between 4 and 8 degrees Celsius. I'm Rosie Johnston, and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's programme, will he or won't he come to Prague? US President Barack Obama's name is on every front page today in connection with reports that he may visit Prague in April. An exhibition exploring Tibet's cultural impact on the Czech Republic opens in the Czech capital. We'll offer you a summary of the week's business news, and later on in the show, Christian Falvey will tell you about an exhibition that has lit up Prague.
All these artists are concentrated on light art, a very special thing. And you don't have a lot of famous light artists in the world. And some of them we brought here to Prague.
All that coming your way, so do please stay with us. The papers are awash with speculation that Air Force One could be touching down in Prague in a few weeks' time as President Barack Obama prepares to visit the Czech Republic. The word on the street is that President Obama will stop off in Prague following the NATO summit in France and Germany at the beginning of April for an informal meeting with leaders of the European Union. Rob Cameron has been sifting through the snippets of information and joins me now in the studio. So Rob, first of all, has anyone actually confirmed that he is coming?
Afraid not, Daniela, no. Although there's nothing strange about that, because such visits by US presidents are usually kept under wraps for security reasons. Now, the Czech media immediately quoting unnamed diplomatic sources involved in the trip as saying that Barack Obama will come to Prague on either April the 4th or April the 5th, or possibly from April the 4th to April the 5th. The US embassy is refusing to confirm that, though. They say that they are aware that there is a lot of speculation around this visit, but that the White House hasn't said anything to suggest that he might be coming, while Petr Kolář, the Czech ambassador in Washington, simply said no comment. All we have to go on is a comment from Radim Ochvat. He's the spokesman for the Czech president, Václav Klaus, who told the Czech news agency that the president's office had been working on this trip for several weeks, and the Czech foreign minister, Karel Schwarzenberg, who said rather cryptically, or perhaps not so cryptically, that the visit was not officially confirmed, but if I were you, I would avoid driving in Prague on April the 4th and 5th because the traffic is going to be terrible.
Right, well, clearly a lot of feverish preparations are underway. Do we know what will be on the agenda if he does come to Prague?
Well, it seems that this could be a meeting between the US president and the 27 leaders of the European Union, the first such informal meeting since Barack Obama won the election last year. Now, and since the Czech Republic currently has the presidency of the EU, it would be natural that they have this meeting in Prague. Now, Obama's going to be in London on April the 2nd for the G20 meeting, where he'll meet some European leaders. Then he's going to the NATO summit in Baden-Baden and Strasbourg on April the 3rd to April the 4th, where he'll meet leaders of NATO countries. But this meeting in Prague would be, as I say, the first informal US-EU summit. As for the agenda, I suspect the global economic crisis, the Israel-Palestinian conflict, the idea of Europe perhaps accepting Guantanamo detainees, and of course the missile defence shield.
And is he actually expected to come out with any sort of statement on missile defence if he does come?
That's probably hardest to predict, because short of reiterating that he supports missile defence when it's cost-effective and when it's proven to work, Barack Obama still hasn't made any sort of announcement on whether he will continue this project. Now, a senior Democrat based in Prague said in the Czech media that he thought Barack Obama would thank Czechs for their support, although seeing as 70% of the Czech population oppose the shield, that could sound a bit silly. So possibly he will announce that he will continue the shield, perhaps with less urgency and perhaps with less money than his predecessor, George W. Bush. But I'm really guessing now, Daniela, and the only people who really know what he's going to say are Barack Obama and his closest advisers.
Of course. Rob Cameron, thank you for that. And of course, we'll have to wait and see what happens and if he really does come. Now, away from politics, Prague is currently hosting an exhibition reflecting the impact of Tibet's culture on the rest of the world, particularly on the Czech Republic. The exhibition, called Tibet in Our Minds, shows traditional Tibetan art as well as Tibet-inspired works by Czech artists. I asked the exhibition's curator, Zuzana Ondomishiova, to tell us what's on display and why Czechs are so fascinated by all things Tibetan.
It is a very exclusive collection of Tibetan religious and sacred ritual art, which is borrowed from foremost Czech institutions. There are statues of Buddhist iconographic images from the National Museum, Náprstek's Museum of Asian, African and American Culture, and also religious paintings called Tanka from National Gallery in Prague, as well as other items borrowed from private collections. In another large hall, visitors will find collection of unique photographs taken in Tibet by two Czech natives, Josef Vaniš and Vladimir Sis, in the year 1954. They were on the way to Tibet, and they met and even photographed the young 14th Dalai Lama on his way to Beijing to visit Mao Zedong. It was actually a time before Tibetan culture was completely destroyed by Mao's cultural revolution. So the photographs show the unique view of Tibetan country and people and life in that place. There are also other photographs taken by different photographers since 80s. visitors also will find a special hall to His Holiness 14th Dalai Lama, where are documentary photos from his 7 visits to Czech Republic, to our country. Also very important part of the view of Czech artists or Czech people connecting Tibetan question. There are several contemporary artists, and one very famous Czech photographer, František Drtikol, but we exhibit not his famous photographs, but his paintings. When he got older, he spent a lot of time by practicing Buddhist meditation, and he did meditative paintings.
Czechs in general seem to have a strong fascination for Tibet. Why do you think that is?
There are several reasons. We are looking or searching for some spiritual goals, and since long time we are inspired by Buddhist culture as a whole. Also, His Holiness visits to Czech country, and visits of different Tibetan lamas coming to give lectures. It makes more and more wider interest of Tibetan people. Another reason is political. We are a small nation with powerful neighbor, Germany, and we had an experience with the period of German protectorate of our country. Later, we had another experience with the communist regime in our country. And also because our people feel some interest to travel and discover some unknown places, and we look for these places not only outside in foreign countries, but also in our mind.
This exhibition is leading up to March the 10th to the worldwide initiative called Flag for Tibet. The Czech Republic has marked it for several years now. Do you know what's in the pipeline this year?
Because this year we commemorate already 50 years since Dalai Lama has to leave his country. So I'm sure there will be again several hundreds of town halls and other institutions and places who will hoist Tibetan flag as a symbolical support of Tibetan question, of the dialogue about the future of Tibetan people in Chinese state. Last year, that were nearly 400 town halls, and we suppose this year it will be even more. There are also many events in different towns in Czech Republic. There is a festival of Tibetan culture in Ostrava, in Pardubice. There will be other places in Prague having a program on the 10th of March. And also Amnesty International calls quiet demonstration at the Chinese embassy in Prague.
Zuzana Ondomishiova there on an exhibition of Tibetan culture leading up to the Flag for Tibet initiative, which annually takes place around the world on March the 10th. For more information, please go to www.tibetmisli.cz. And of course, you'll also find that link on Radio Prague's own webpage. Now, this being Friday, we bring you a summary of the week's business news, for which I'm joined by Chris Johnson.
Macroeconomic news was dominated by an extraordinary attack by the Czech National Bank on the esteemed Financial Times and The Economist. The bank attacked both publications for putting the country in the same bag as other ex-communist states, where large euro loans were taken out and have now become a big repayment problem. The issue hardly exists here, the bank said. It also ranted on the Financial Times for a report making a five-fold exaggeration of foreign bank loans to the country. It said the actual figure stands at around 30 billion euros, rather than the stated 151 billion euros.
The introduction of incentives to scrap old cars in some European countries has given Škoda Auto a sufficient boost to reintroduce Friday production of most models from March. Interest in new car purchases has picked up enough in France, Germany and Austria for the Mladá Boleslav-based producer to believe that the five-day week is back for good. Originally, Škoda believed it might have to prolong short-time working at plants until the end of June.
But signs of the crisis continue. They have prompted Labour and Social Affairs Minister Petr Nečas to signal a tightening of the green card system for foreign workers. Nečas says he removed vacancies for 30 seamstresses in the high unemployment northern town of Česká Lípa from the list that could be offered to foreigners. During a crisis, hundreds, not thousands of jobs could be offered to foreigners, he added. The green card system was launched in January for citizens from 12 non-EU states, including the US, Canada, Australia and New Zealand. They can be offered jobs if no Czechs or EU citizens fill them within 30 days.
Czech and German governments are eyeing up a fast rail link between Prague and Munich. A memorandum saying as much should be signed at the end of March, but construction is only likely to begin in 2016. The plan, however, relies on the excavation of a long railway tunnel between the Czech capital and Beroun. That is a feat which Czech Railways has shied away from in the past because of heavy costs.
In the sky, the Air France and KLM partnership has emerged as a buyer for state-owned Czech airlines, according to French business daily La Tribune. Sources at the Franco-Dutch airline confirm they are examining whether to make an offer in the ongoing privatisation, but finding cash for a bid could be a problem during the current credit squeeze, the French paper said. Lufthansa and Russia's Aeroflot are also said to be circling Czech airlines. Aeroflot is reported by business magazine Euro to have dropped talks with financial groups Penta, PPF and J&T about possible joint bids.
And on the ground, Czech farmland is being eaten up faster than in most neighbouring countries, according to figures from the National Statistics Office. Between 2003 and 2007, the proportion of land used for farming declined by 1.4% to 44.6%. Most of it fell victim to new construction. In Germany and Austria, the fall over the same period was less than 1%. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time to spotlight some light artists in the arts with Christian Falvey.
These are fine times for the arts in Prague. The Czech capital is receiving a great deal of attention thanks to the EU presidency, and one of the ways that the Prague municipal government is availing itself of the opportunity is by taking various art projects under its wing. Indeed, there are so many things vying for notice, from comic books, exhibits, to Andy Warhol's motion pictures, that one tends to lose track of them all. The project we're looking at today, however, is bringing something slightly different to Prague's Gothic squares and murky alleys. Light. The Outdoor Transparency 2009 exhibit is underway for the course of the six-month EU presidency and consists of six artworks using light to illuminate various corners of the city in thoughtful and aesthetic ways. I spoke to Quirin Wimmer, one of the owners of W Art, the project's organizer.
All in all, we have six artists coming from London, Julian Opie, coming from Spain, Jaume Plenza, from Austria, Ulla Rauter, from Germany, Stefan Reusse, Arthur Duff, coming from Italy. It's an American name, but he's living in Italy. And finally, from the US, Jenny Holzer. And all these artists are concentrated on light art. So light art is inside the contemporary art, this section of art, a very special thing, and you don't have a lot of famous light artists in the world, and some of them we brought here to Prague.
The six pieces on display are eclectic in subject matter, but all make use of light. White light, LED screens, or laser beams. Among the most noticeable is a purple window-sized figure in a skirt swaying on the side of the National Theatre. in Anne Dancing, as the work is called, Anne doesn't do much else. But she is, interestingly, a kind of compromise between the winged bronze chariot drivers on the theatre's roof and the stoplights and headlights of the busy intersection below. Another of the more prominent works is called simply We, a large human figure of white meshed metal by Spaniard Jaume Plensa that sits squat in front of Prague's music center, Rudolfinum. The statue shines white at night, and its hollow frame is comprised entirely of characters from writing systems ranging from Latin to Indic to Chinese. Abstract though it may be, I found passersby had given the work a good deal of thought. Here's what some of them had to say.
I think it's very nice. At first it was not obvious what it is supposed to represent, but then I realized it's letters of different alphabets, but I think it looks very nice, particularly at night.
I think it looks like men who have some dreams about, about life maybe, and a face opposite Prakestel. It's also some symbolic, yes? I think it's something about our life.
German artist Stefan Rose, a professor at the Art School of Cologne, has installed laser screenings on facades across the world from Toronto to Shanghai. His Prague exhibit, called Mice, uses a green laser to send rodents scampering across the front of a school building in the city center. Here's what the artist himself had to say about the work.
It's the abstraction and simple movements that brings this show to life. I didn't want to do some kind of technophile show, but something that immediately brings pictorial memories to mind. It's like this. The brain assembles images on its own. You see a few lines and they're gone again in a second, but in the background, a picture of a mouse remains. That's the concept behind the laser show as well. It's based on an analysis of video recordings that were animated on a background using a small number of lines. The lines made are only momentary, flashing by just briefly, but the image is quickly stored in the brain.
There can be deep dimensions to art when we are lucky enough to read and hear about the thoughts behind them. Without a helping hand, however, much of the Transparency 2009 exhibits defy easy explanation. American Arthur Duff, for example, also used lasers for the first month of the exhibition to fire excerpts of love letters around the walls of Old Town Square. Those who did not know that the excerpts were generated by a love letter program were baffled by phrases like, "Love making fully blesses your kiss," creeping along the cobblestones. Another exhibit, launched Friday, is called Tacit, and consists of the word tacit, tacitly glowing from out of the river. The word is a musical term meaning to be silent, and a sensor built into the piece monitors the sound of the city and automatically illuminates the letters accordingly. This, however, required more imagination than the passersby I met were willing to offer it.
Well, it's the first time I'm seeing it, so I don't know what to say. I don't even know what it means. That's it.
Okay. I don't know what it means. What does it mean? I don't know. You know? What does it mean? No.
I watch it in TV, but I have no opinion about it. I know about it, but no special impression.
Prague Pedestrians, In the Dark Over the Meaning of the Piece by Austrian artist Ulla Rauter. With so many art exhibits in Prague, especially at present, I asked the organizer who the project was intended for and if Transparency in 2009 is sometimes too opaque for some.
Contemporary art is not so common in Czech Republic or here in Prague. And that's the reason why we oriented on this kind of art. So all these people who are not informed about this project are also our target group, of course, because we are organizer for contemporary art in Europe, and we are lucky if people are looking at these pieces, at these artworks, and feel something. And normally they feel something positive, because it's not so hard to understand what we show here, and contemporary art sometimes is a little bit harder to understand.
While the idea of there being a shortage of contemporary art in Prague is debatable at the very least, It is true that light art has been an uncommon feature of the art scene in recent years. The last large-scale light exhibit that most people would probably remember was Jiří David's 2002 Pink Neon Heart over Prague Castle. Public misunderstanding played no small role in that case either. Though hearts had been a long-term motif in David's work, much of the general public took the theme and location to be either a going-away present to the then-outgoing President Havel, or a statement on the brothel-esque nature of Czech politics. The light art project is still being gradually unveiled, and one more work will be submitted for public explication on April 30th, when a projection by Jenny Holzer will be cast across the facade of the National Museum.
And that edition of The Arts with Christian Falvey brings us to the end of today's show. But do join us for some of our weekend programs. We'll offer you an entertaining Czech lesson on Saturday and talk about bazaars in Prague on Sunday. Should you like to write to us about anything you heard in the show or offer comments and suggestions, then the address to write to is english@radio.cz. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and goodbye.